Grade 1 Conference, Lecture 5, The Four Temperaments, Part 1. The four temperaments are one of the most important and valuable concepts that Rudolf Steiner gave us as practicing Waldorf teachers. And as we will see, they are especially valuable to those of us working in the primary grades, and of tremendous value to those of us working in grade one above all. And yet I would have to tell you that, let's say, if I take just the last decade of my over 30 years of observing teachers in the classroom, and over those 10 years I've seen 45 to 50 grade one teachers at work internationally. Many of them good to very good, a number of them excellent teachers. Yet I would say that I could really count on the fingers of one hand the number of teachers who were really taking advantage of understanding the children's temperaments. That in most of the situations I've seen, and it's not to say these teachers were not doing a wonderful job, most of the time, however, they were making their work much harder by treating everybody kind of the same and glossing over important temperamental differences. Not, of course, you know, I'm not saying they ignored children who were just whining or children who were just acting up. You know, that's often the good thing to do. But to work with the often very clear, sometimes rather subtle differences that are created by the temperaments, not to work with that is just losing one of the mainstays of our support system as Waldorf teachers. So even though you've heard about these in your training, or maybe, you know, you've been hearing about them in your schoolwork for years and years, I would ask you, listen again. You know, listen with fresh ears and look with fresh eyes upon the children that you're going to be teaching, because I may give you some thoughts that you haven't heard before about the temperaments and how to work with them and why they're so important. Now, I've mentioned that they're kind of underutilized in the classroom, yet when I go to child studies at faculty meetings or hear the faculty, even in the faculty lounge, talking about various children in their classes, in grade one, in grade three, in grade six and seven and eight, even on the high school level, the temperaments come up again and again and again. So it's sort of funny. Everybody talks about the temperaments. Certainly in our conversation with our colleagues, it's, you know, everyone seems to have a very clear understanding of the temperaments. And yet, actually, I rarely see the temperaments in action, or at least the teacher's understanding of the temperament manifesting as one or another particular action. So this is really a critical matter. You know, we know we can certainly recite in the 21st century all of the things that Rudolf Steiner didn't tell us we would need to do, and the many kinds of changes and surprises in children of today that we feel, well, wasn't like that in 1919. You know, we have to find that for ourselves, and people do some remarkable work in that way. But here's something that Steiner did give us, and which by and large is no less valid now than it was a century ago in Stuttgart, Germany. You know, it's one of those things that has kind of withstood the test of time, but only if we are using it and really understanding it. So let me finish this segment by telling you something about the temperaments that I suspect you haven't heard before. unless I visited your school at some time. The temperaments are an important central fiber of the human being. We know that from Rudolf Steiner, but not throughout our lifetime. In fact, I would say that though they are one of the most important forces in understanding the springs of human action, there is only a very short period of about 3 to 4 years in which the temperaments are really the dominant soul quality of the human being. 3 to 4 years. When are those 3 to 4 years? You're in it. Grade 1, grade 2, and grade 3. Certainly, you know, nothing is absolutely that rigid. There are children beginning to show signs of their true temperament at the end of kindergarten year. There are children who continue acting relatively strongly out of their temperament through at least part or even all of fourth grade. But that's the exception. The rule generally is that temperament begins to manifest itself in the purity of its being when you shake the hand of that child on the very first day of first grade. You are in a certain way priming the pump of that temperament, and it's going to begin to act. And we can think about it in this way, that in the springtime, very often in most schools that I know of, the kindergarten teachers come, might be late April, might be May, and they talk to the grade school teachers about the incoming first graders. In most Waldorf schools, of course, most of the children in the new first grade will have been in the school's kindergarten. And those pictures that they give are very powerful and rightly influential. The kindergarten teachers know their stuff. They've been with these children sometimes 3 or even 4 years. And they always say something about the child's temperament. Now, at Green Meadow Waldorf School, I sat through many such meetings year after year after year. And at a certain point, I decided, you know, I'm going to write down the children's names and the temperament that has been assigned to them by the kindergarten teacher. And I want to see what those children are like in first grade. And what was very interesting was that certainly by Advent time of first grade, or in January, very few of the temperaments described by the kindergarten teachers were living in those children. Their temperament was quite different from what was described. So, how do we understand this? Were the kindergarten teachers wrong? I would never say that word in connection with a kindergarten teacher, never. But what was going on there? Much in the same way that the child has a model body which is lent by the parents to help the child find his or her way on the earth into the difficulties of the physical world. So in the first 5, 6 years of life, the child also takes on a kind of model temperament. That temperament is connected to the model body. And as the model body starts to fall away, starts to unravel like the old skin of a snake that must be sloughed off for future growth, so the old temperament begins to break up with it, and a new temperament arises. Now, I would say perhaps 25% of the time, which is not insignificant, 25% of the time, the child's new temperament is quite similar to the temperament they had at the end of the kindergarten year, the end of the last year of kindergarten. But most of the time, 75, 80, 85% of the time, it's a different temperament, and it's going to start to appear within the first days or weeks of first grade. And you start to meet a child very different from the one whom the kindergarten teachers described. It's not because they're wrong. It's because their work is rightfully, one might say almost in a sacred way, connected with the guardianship of the hereditary forces. They are really meant to protect and shelter that model body so that it may find its bearings in the physical world, in the world of cooking, in the world of cleaning and hanging up coats and such things, all of which are of inestimable importance for the child. But this is different from your responsibility and your work, which is to begin from day one in trying to nurture those delicate, tender seeds of individuality that really now have, you know, altogether 14 more years before we'll even see much of anything sprouting, but which nonetheless are starting to arise and which are looking to be met. So this is what true temperament is, something that arises approximately with the second dentition. And of course, as we know, the second dentition is very different from what it used to be. It's thrown off in time, but it still gives us something of a guide for when that new true temperament is going to appear. And I'd like to just end this lecture by characterizing a little bit of that temperament by saying that temperament represents the etheric body's solution to the problem of taking hold of physical matter and forming it into an instrument of destiny for the child. That the temperament shows what part of the child's nature the etheric body found most amenable to development and even transformation at this stage in the child's life. Eventually, it all has to be taken hold of and transformed. But the physical world, the physical body, represents a huge stumbling block, a huge hurdle for the etheric body. Its role is to form us so that our karma, our destiny, may be realized. And Steiner has said that the materialism that has run rampant in the world since the time of the Renaissance has made it harder and harder for that karma, that destiny, to be fulfilled. So the temperament is a step in trying to open up the floodgates to allow the child's spirit and soul to flow into earthly life. So every temperament is, we might say, a work of art which the etheric body has created, a kind of sculpture. And sometimes I've worked with teachers trying to not just sculpt the look of a temperament in clay, but trying to imagine that the whole child is a sculpture and that the temperament manifests that sculpture in a variety of ways. And we'll look at this next, you know, the so-called body type that can help us understanding the child's temperamental proclivities. So think of it that way. The temperament is the work of the etheric body on the physical body. So here again, we're led to that dominant force of the etheric world acting on the younger child, and we see the temperament as one of its great clarion calls, something that helps us understand where the child is going. And our work, and I'll come back to this more than once, is not to balance that temperament out but rather, especially in grade one, to let the child go through the temperament, to let the child work through it, drink it to its dregs. And this is often a very challenging task for us as teachers, especially in America, where we want everything to be nice and everyone to be smiling all the time. It won't happen. It's real work and often a real drama that we are partaking of when we are working with the four temperaments.